Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's head to our 101 ESPN Celebrity Line. We have our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic, on the line right now. What's up, JR?
Not too much, boys. You're talking about breakfast. It reminded me. Hey, Riv, you know that Westin right there on the water in Vancouver?
Oh, do I ever?
Say that for you. Yeah, I bet.
I barely remember it for most nights, though, JR.
Yeah, some hangovers from the Roxy the night before, I guess. But,
oh, yeah.
The Roxy?
So,
Trust me.
You're talking about breakfast. Talking about that breakfast, and I remember late night at the Roxy, I go to the Westin breakfast buffet the next morning, and this thing is $37 for the breakfast buffet. And I sit down, I say, wow, Post-Dispatch is not going to be happy with me on this one, $37 on breakfast. Here comes Kelly Chase. He sits down next to me. I think he bought a protein bar, so he's in for about $3. And then all of a sudden he says to the waitress, I'll take his bill. So he gets the bill. He goes, $37? What did you eat? So he was in for $40, and all he did was happen to sit next to me.
Little did they know, though, that buffet was losing money that morning.
it was so funny. I was wondering why the next time I went it was $56.
They're like, oh, you're that Rutherford guy, huh?
We've had to change our whole profit and loss structure here. So, JR, you released your final grades for the defensemen, the goalies, coaches, the GM. I heard you the other day talking to, I think it was BK and Ferrario, about it all. Which player or coach or GM did you struggle with the most in terms of giving a grade, and why?
Well, yeah, it is a struggle. I'll tell you, you put a lot of time into it, a lot of thought into it, and it's not necessarily apples to apples with everybody. Like, you might look at a plus minus, and a lot of people don't want to give credence to that stat. Neither do I. I totally get it. But you look at a Torey Krug, he's a minus 31. It's by far, the next closest defenseman to him is Justin Falk at a minus 2. And yet, a lot of people will tell you Krug was probably better than Falk. So how do you grade those two guys? And I came out in the wash with those two, giving them both a D minus. So, you know, who did I struggle with? I think those are two guys right there, even though you might sit there and say, well, it's pretty easy to give a guy or a D and F. It's not that easy. It's really not. So I think the main one that I struggled with was Doug Armstrong, and I might have a lot of people out there disagree with a C minus for Doug. My rationale is this. I gave him an F last year, and you had a lot of things go wrong last year, obviously. But you get to a point where I get people are disappointed with what's gone on from his role. But, you know, how many years can you say the bad contracts, the long-term contracts, you know, is still give you input into the grade each year moving forward? And so I felt like what he did, kind of reloading the prospect pool and kind of getting this thing turned around, it wasn't great, but I don't think it's worthy of a D or an F. I think the C minus is where I landed with him.
Well, I agree with you, JR. And look, you're grading this per season. It's not the bulk of 5 years, the window of 5 years that you're grading it upon. And if you look at this year, yeah, there were some things that missed as far as maybe the Kevin Hayes signing and things like that. But you also had the emergence of Matthew Kessel, the Bull Duke, the Zach Dean, Joel Hofer on the scene full time. So you're seeing some of the really good young players that Army and his staff have added to this group as well. So that definitely changes the grade, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I was ready to do with his grade. It's just kind of, okay, let's move forward. Let's understand we're all on the same page. That some of these contracts didn't work out, but you can start to see the benefit of some of those trades that they made at the deadline last year with O'Reilly and Tarasenko and you know, some of these guys that are on the horizon. So you may disagree, C minus. I just felt it was time to move on and kind of put those long-term contracts in the past a little bit.
Jared, there's been a lot of talk about the transition that will be taking place for the roster, but what about for the head coach? We've heard about Rod Brindamore, we heard about Jim Montgomery, Drew Bannister. What is the best fit for this team for 24-25?
Well, I think it's exactly what Doug Armstrong said the other day at the press conference. I think that, are they ready to win a Stanley Cup? No. He said, are they looking for that type of coach who's going to come in and give them the extra 3 or 4% to get them over the hump, help them win a cup? No, that's not the guy. They need a guy who understands the fans' expectations, but also is willing to kind of grow with the young players and understand that they're going to make some mistakes and teach them along the way. And so, you know, as a David Carl at the University of Denver, that type of guy, we saw some news with him yesterday. He's going to coach the World Junior Championship team in 2025. That would seemingly take him out of the running because he would be coaching an NHL team. How can he coach the World Junior team at the same time? There is precedent. You go back to the early 2000s, there was a coach who took that World Junior job. It was a North Dakota coach. And then once he got an NHL job, he did back out of the World Junior commitment. So it has happened, but it doesn't seem like the Blues are going that direction. I'll tell you what, the guy that fits the mold of what Doug Armstrong was saying is Jim Montgomery. And he does have 1 year left on his contract. I double-checked that. It does not expire this year. It does go into next year, and let's see what happens with this series between the Bruins and Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, I don't see a scenario in which Boston would let him out of the contract, or maybe he'd want to be leaving Boston this offseason, but you never know. Things can change, and we'll see what happens after this postseason series he's in.
JR, an interesting piece for the Blues moving forward, if we start to dive into the players, is Pavel Buchnevich. You know, Pavel Buchnevich has a year left on his deal. He's making pretty good money right now. I know Army has said publicly that he'd like to keep this relationship going with Pavel Buchnevich, likes him a lot as a player. But when you look at the money that he's currently making and you kind of bop around the league and look for guys that are comparables, I mean, it would be hard to imagine a world where Pavel Buchnevich gets a substantial raise and term. And if he does get those things, do you think it's going to be in St. Louis?
Yeah, Riv, it's kind of, you know, funny behind the scenes here for a second. I was in the Blues locker room a few weeks ago and approached Pavel about, you know, does he want to re-sign? You know, what would it look like? And you know what his response was? I get a bad Russian accent here, imitation. But he goes, wait a minute. I hear on podcasts you say a week ago I'd be traded, and I no longer traded. Now you want to talk to me about re-signing here. I said, Pav, I'm not trying to trade you. I'm just trying to say, you know, it could have went that direction before the trade deadline, but it did not. Doug Armstrong wanted to, after the trade deadline, he talked about wanting to re-sign Pavel Buchnevich, and he said he's going to talk to his representative. You know, just for context here, he'll be in the final year of his deal coming up next season, so they'll be able to officially talk on July 1st, and then, you know, something could develop after that. But, Riv, you know, you talk about a guy who just turned 29 the other day. He's going to be 30 years old when that new contract kicks in. You know, he's going to want 5+ years. I could see a guy like him, you know, wanting to take it late in his career to 8 years. And you look at a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, I know that he hasn't produced here lately, but his numbers for his career are pretty similar to Buchnevich. And he recently signed that 8x8 in L.A. I'm not saying that's the only comp, but, you know, you want to start looking at comps out there. There are going to be some contracts that put him in the $7-8 million range. And is that something the Blues want to get into? Doug Armstrong hasn't done that in the past. You know, we all know he let David Backes walk. He did give that type of deal to Braden Schenn. He said he's a big Pavel Buchnevich fan. And so where are the Blues in the retool? Do they think that Pavel Buchnevich is worth that long-term contract to keep him in the fold? We'll find out. And finally, after a year or so of talking about it, they'll be able to discuss that coming up in July.
I just have a hard time with it, JR, because you look at his numbers and they're fine. You know, they're fine, but you're also looking at a guy, like you say, he's going to be 30 years old, and Army is just, he's really not known for rewarding aging players with long, like extremely long-term deals. Could I see a 4-year deal, maybe 5 stretch to get the AAV down a little bit? I could, but I just don't know if Pavel Buchnevich, the extension in the term, would fit into where the Blues are going here in the next 2-3 years.
Right, and that happens with a lot of players. And so if you're the Blues, ideally you want the 4 or 5 years, like you said. And even if the term's a little bit higher than you want to, you know, you're willing to go to that 34, 35 age range. But if you're Pavel Buchnevich, you're 29, the deal's going to start when you're 30. You know, you don't want a deal expiring when you're 34, 35, and then you got to look for another one when it looks like you're on, you know, probably the 13th hole of your career. So I think it's a situation where he's probably going to be looking for that 6 or 8 year deal. And are the Blues willing to go that high? I mean, it just seems like every time we talk about a player 30 years old, whether it be David Perron, Pietrangelo, O'Reilly, we just come to this same conversation. The Blues probably don't want to do this, and this is what the player wants. And each one breaks differently. But you're right, history with Doug Armstrong, other than a guy like Shen, he had 1 year left and they gave him 8, so they gave him a total of 9. You know, that's going to take him into his late 30s. You know, that's the only one that I can recall that they've kind of went out on a limb on.
But how old was Shenner when he signed that deal?
Yeah, so he would have been late 20s because the 9 years is going to take him into, I think, 36. I don't have it.
Yeah, so
top of my head here.
I think you can stomach getting to 36 a lot more when it's the last part of his deal than trying to stomach 38 at the end of a deal like Pavel Buchnevich. And you know, look, Shenner makes good money. There's no doubt about it. But if Pavel Buchnevich is going to want to, you know, win the slot machine here, he's going to want 7.5, 8, 8.5, somewhere in that range. And I just don't know if at 36, 37, 38 on a deal like that, I just don't know how much gas would be left in the tank.
Yeah, I'm with you. And just for, you know, listeners to give some context here, why do they give out the 7, 8 year deals like they did with Braden Shen? It's because it got the salary cap hit for Shen down to $6.5 million. And with that stagnant cap, you know, the cap wasn't rising after COVID. They're able to fit more players in when you do deals like that and you stretch out the term on that. But now the cap, Riv, as you know, is going to jump up. It's going up about $4 million this year. So there's going to be plenty of cap room so you don't maybe have to do those types of moves as you did in the past.
JR, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you. We'll check back with you either next week or the week after.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you later.
Thanks. It's Jeremy Rutherford at JP Rutherford Online. If you want to give him a follow on Twitter, I'm sure you already are. We'll have plenty of Blues offseason talk to come.